I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Some fun on a Thursday, and it's gonna be such an awesome night. We're gonna talk about Civil War. Don't worry, not ours. We're gonna talk about someone else's. People have questions, we'll talk about it. We're gonna talk about why you need to move. Once again, I have another great example. We're gonna talk about what you would do if the lights went out, because they might be going out soon. We'll talk about electric vehicles. We're going to talk about Tim Scott, getting to your emails. I might even allow some phone calls later on in the show. Tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and maybe the return of polio in New York. Can you believe this? All that and more is coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. And we're probably going to set up some sort of a charitable donation link at some point in the next 3 hours for the show. There's a real need out there. And I know what you're thinking, Jesse, you're such a good person. And you're so right. I am such a good person. You see, the wife is getting an estimate to get new blinds put in the house tomorrow. And the estimates I'm getting right now are, quite frankly, staggering. If I was to show any of these numbers to Chris, we'd never talk to Chris again. He'd just fall over dead right there. He would just fall over dead at the thought of this. So we'll be setting up a link to support my blinds. All that's coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. But obviously, I know what we have to tackle. We have to tackle the elephant in the room right now. The raid, the aftermath, Merrick Garland speaking today. It has to be talked about. And actually, I have some good news about all this. Are you ready to feel? Look, I can't promise you're going to feel great because we're in a bad spot. But are you ready to feel at least a little bit better about everything? You ready for that? Let's start with that, okay? First of all, let's walk through, just really briefly, what happened with the Trump raid. You found out when I found out. Remember, we were live on the air. We were live on the air, and we had to go all journalist Jesse and say, they just raided the president. So you found out when I found out, right? FBI raids, FBI spends hours there. We later find out. It's even worse. Remember, the story got worse. You got angrier as time went on. You found out they kicked out his lawyer, so the lawyer couldn't make sure the FBI wouldn't plant anything, which the FBI does all the time. You found out they rifled through Melania's wardrobe. There's no need to do that unless you're just trying to be extra spiteful. So clearly that's spiteful. You're getting angrier and angrier and angrier the more news came out for about 24, 48 hours. We've all been steaming, right? Everybody, I can't tell you how many emails I get to the show, phone calls, text messages from friends. People are freaking out. Okay, but I get all that. But there is something good coming from this that I can see, and people don't see it. And I'll tell you what it is. First, I'm going to play you a little something. You remember, right in the immediate aftermath of this raid, the White House washed their hands of it. Hey, we didn't know anything about it. We're not involved. Nancy Pelosi washed her hands of it. What? There was a raid? I had no idea. Chuck Schumer, New York Senator Chuck Schumer, runs to the microphone. Couldn't get to the microphone fast enough. Hey, man, I found out when you found out. Of course, those are all lies, right? But that's a good thing, isn't it? I'll explain why in a moment. Because I'm going to play you this little montage. I didn't put this together. We'll figure out who put this together of the media. The media, they woke up, all the communists who bring you the news, they woke up and they saw Donald Trump's home had been raided and they were so excited about it because we have to stop Trump, right? And so what they start out saying, what did the media start out calling it? All of them. It's a raid.
We learned the news of the FBI raid on Donald Trump's home in Florida at 6:52 p.m. this evening.
The home of the 45th president of the United States has been raided by the FBI.
The raid on former President Trump's home.
This raid might have pertained to
this raid on his home.
An FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago.
The raid.
Hear about a raid on Donald Trump's house.
A raid on the former president's property.
Yesterday's federal raid on Mar-a-Lago was impressive.
Okay. Raid, right? Raid. But then, almost overnight, that lasted about, 12 to 24 hours. They all said it. A raid. It was a raid. Isn't this exciting? We raided him. All of a sudden, something changed.
We keep hearing a lot of people call what the FBI did at Mar-a-Lago a raid.
Evidence wasn't really a raid. Well, yeah, not a raid, the search.
Not a raid, we'll call it a search. Let's put yesterday's search.
This is obviously not a raid, technically speaking.
New details about the FBI search on Mar-a-Lago.
It's a search on the president's home
leading up to this search on Monday.
No, man, it was no raid on your home.
It's not a raid.
It wasn't a raid on his house.
No. This unprecedented search on Monday.
This was not a raid.
This was not a raid.
It was an orderly execution of a search warrant.
And those are the facts.
Okay, where am I going with this? Why should this make you feel better? I have just one more cut I want to play you really quickly, and then I'll explain why I'm feeling a little bit better today. Attorney General Merrick Garland got up there today. He had a press conference, and he had this to say.
There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approve the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly.
Okay, that's a lot. President washes his hands of it. Nancy Pelosi washes her hands of it. Chuck Schumer washes his hands of it. The media gets all giddy with excitement, get themselves worked up in a lather. It's a raid. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't even that bad. It was just basically a search. It was a search. Quit calling it. It's a search. And then about 48 hours after the fact, Attorney General Merrick Garland gets up there and says, guys, it was most definitely something I did. I personally did it. Why should this make you feel better? Because the dog caught the car. You see, they have made, with this raid, I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but gosh, that sounded really cool in hindsight. They have made, with this raid, a gigantic mistake. It's not an uncommon mistake for the communists because, remember, he's religiously committed. He can't ever make himself stop. He never stops. He never backs off. He can't make himself do it. And so it helps him. It helps him gain ground, but eventually he gains too much ground and he ends up running off the cliff. This was a running off the cliff moment because I have talked to, how I don't live in New York City. I don't live in Washington, D.C. I don't live in these high-powered political circles. There are some negatives to that, but the positives are I don't hang around political people. I have none of my friends are political people, really, except for Chris and Michael were really the only two political friends I have in the area, and Michael Berry. That's it. So I've been talking to my friends for the last 24 to 48 hours because my head's been about to pop off, just like yours, just angry. I wanted to know, what does the mechanic think? My buddy runs a little excavation company. I wanted to know what he thought. My other buddy, he manages a car dealership. I wanted to know what he thought. I know a few cattle ranchers. I want to reach out to non-political, normal people and see what they thought. To a man, and they told me all their wives backed this up, to a man, they were horrified. Not one person said, I wonder what Trump did. It must have been really bad. And these are not Trump fans. Lots of these people. Some are, some aren't. To a man, they said, what is going on at the FBI? Jesse, my goodness, should we be worried? Should we all be worried? The communists screwed up majorly with this raid. It did not go over at all with the public how they intended it. And now maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, how could they be so stupid? How could they not see that coming? Remember the three things they have in common. What's number two? I'm not even going to go over all three because you know them by now. What's the number two thing all your leaders have in common? They have no connection to the real world. It's not that they don't live your life. That's one thing. It's that they don't even have a clue what your life is like. They've never encountered it. None of their friends have your life. Their family didn't have your life. Outside of their D.C. / New York bubble, shout out to the great 710WOR, by the way, outside of that bubble, they don't have any idea what you see. They got themselves whipped up to go after the big bad Trump and had no idea how bad that would look. I'm not quite finished on my point, but I am, however, out of time, so you're going to have to bear with me. But if you want to make yourself feel better and blow off a little stress in the meantime, I know it's been a rough 48 hours. Target practice. What have I told you I've been doing? Yes, there's been some Jim Beam at night, but I work out and I practice with my weapon. Mantis X. I love, by the way, I love the emails you send me thanking me for the recommendation. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel really good about what we do here on the show. We take a lot of pride in vetting whoever we speak for here. And that you're happy with all of them means the world to us. And I probably get as many emails for Mantis X as anything else. You get to dry fire practice inside of your home. You don't spend a dollar on ammunition because it's dry fire practice. And it's not just clink, 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 target practice. I want to stress this. They're putting you through drills. You're getting feedback. You will be a markedly better shooter. Give me Mantis X for 1 month. And you'll see how good you are. Go to MantisX.com and start practicing. Practice. MantisX.com.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. And before I forget, what's tomorrow? What's tomorrow, Chris? Don't shake your head. It's the greatest day of the week. It's the day where we turn...
We're changing people's lives!
...into overdrive. It's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, man. The whole 3 hours. All three of them. I answer whatever questions you email into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. They do not have to be political, all right? They can be. That's totally fine. It can be about anything. Men, women, food, employment... travel, history, stupid stuff, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Longtime listeners of the show are apparently big fans of it, as am I. We have a blast on Friday. The week's heavy enough, is it not? jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to what I was saying. This raid on Donald Trump was a gigantic, possibly country-changing mistake, and they know it. Why did Merrick Garland go out there today and fall on his sword?
There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter.
Why would you do that? Joe Biden ran away from it. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, everyone and their brother ran away from it. But Merrick Garland runs to the cameras and says he did it because Merrick Garland was forced into being the scapegoat. How do I know he was forced into being the scapegoat? I want you to listen once again to this human being's voice and tell me, is this human being the top law enforcement officer in America and taking down crime, or is this a pathetic, embarrassing, low-T lackey who does exactly what he's told when he's told?
There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter.
Merrick Garland is falling on the sword because this raid on Donald Trump was a colossal mistake. It was a political disaster. And with all the horrendous things the Federal Bureau of Investigation has done in this country, this one may be the thing that is actually too far. I'm looking at now, finally, members of Congress, senators, discussing, should the FBI even continue to exist in any form? You've never heard that kind of talk in your lifetime, not from elected officials. Those weenies are always way behind. If they're out there saying it, that tells you all you need to know. This was, in the end, awful, and awful for America. I'm not defending it. I'm not trying to put a smiley face on it. But boy, they really overplayed their hand with all this badly. By the way, why are there all kinds of polio cases popping up in New York? I know that's a quick change. Don't worry. I'll come back to that in about 10 minutes. But that's a little worrisome. Before we get to that, though, I do want to get to this. Because it was breaking news all over the news this morning. Headline. Breaking incident at the Cincinnati FBI building. Multiple shots are fired in a standoff. Okay, so what happened? Here's what we know so far. Well, what we hear so far. A guy showed up at the FBI headquarters in Cincinnati with apparently a nail gun and then a rifle of some kind. They sounded the alarm. Guy apparently takes off. I don't have the details on how he took off. Ends up in some half-cocked gunfight against law enforcement from a cornfield or something like that. Long story short, it's over. It's gone. Now, let's take this at face value. Because we're going to have to talk first. One, if this was real and not a Fed op, and I'll get to that in a second. If this was real, please understand something. The federal government has a long, storied history, especially the FBI, of purposely antagonizing you and poking you in the ribs so you will do something that'll end up with them kicking in your door as they want to do and pointing guns in your face and ruining your life. What they're doing right now with the Trump raid and they're taking the congressman's phones and then they're just spitting in your face over and over and over and over and over again. They are trying to get you to do something dumb and violent and illegal. Do not take the bait. The same people that sent multiple people on camera into crowds on January 6th and January 5th and told those people to go into the Capitol, and then they slinked off and never got arrested, those same people are all still in charge of the feds right now. If it seems like they're trying to make you mad, it's because they are. They want you to lose your mind and grab your weapon and go try to shoot somebody up or do something horrible and illegal. They're begging for it. They're so excited at the prospect of you being pushed too far that you go and you do something you can't come back from. Why? Because then it gives them, well, in their minds, it gives them complete permission to attack your rights and everyone you talk to, everyone you agree with, everyone you text, everyone you email. The federal government would love to swoop up everybody in your life and lock them in a cage somewhere so they don't dare go out and vote Republican in the midterms. Do not take the bait. How many times have I played the audio for you on this show of Ray Epps standing there in the crowd on January 5th, rallying everybody? We're going to go into the Capitol. And the crowd itself immediately starts calling him a Fed, saying, Fed, Fed, Fed. This gentleman, I want you to listen. This gentleman I'm about to play the audio for you for is not in jail. He's not even under investigation. Not on a most wanted list. Why do you think that is?
We need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
What?
Fed.
Notice how the crowd said, no, peaceful, and then accused him of being a Fed. That's because people like you, people like me on the right, are peaceful people. We don't want to see anyone to get hurt. But these Feds will try to agitate you when they're trying to do it now. That's if you take the story at face value. If you don't, guy might be a Fed himself. Don't think they're beyond that. If they've poked you in the ribs and poked you in the ribs and poked you in the ribs and you still won't give in and do something stupid and violent and illegal, they're not at all above finding some mentally ill nut job who used to work for the FBI and sending him in there to do something. They've done it several times before. Don't believe me? Open up a history book. All right. We are going to briefly touch on polio in New York? what? And why you have to move. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Why does it always seem to be? It is the Jesse Kelly Show. What if the lights go out? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that shortly here and why you need to move and a couple other things. But I do want to bring up something real quick here. Jesse, the FBI would never, they would never purposely try to get someone to do violent things. They would never entrap somebody to commit crimes. You do know about Ruby Ridge, right? Now, maybe you've just heard the name. Maybe you don't know anything about it. So I'm not going to do a long thing. I've done a history episode on it before, so I'm not going to do a long thing, but I am going to bring up a couple facts just so you are aware of what you're dealing with here. Randy Weaver was one of these disaster prepper types. You know, the kind of guys we used to all call nut jobs, and now we're all going to be mooching ammo off them in the coming years. Anyway, he was former Green Beret, wife, kids, dog, lived up in the mountains. A federal agent, a federal informant, approached Randy Weaver and told him, hey, this shotgun, I want you to saw it off for me. Now, look, you may not be a weapons laws expert, and I'm not either, but there are certain lengths you're not allowed to saw off of a shotgun. It's kind of it's not kind of stupid. It's very stupid. But there, you're only allowed to saw it down so much. Randy Weaver, and the guy approached Randy Weaver, right? Randy didn't approach him. The guy approached Randy Weaver. These are the facts of the case. And he told him, saw this down. And he gave him the length, which was an illegal length. Randy Weaver takes the shotgun, goes and saws it down, but doesn't saw enough off that it's illegal, staying within the bounds of the law, brings the shotgun back to the guy. He measures it. The guy finds out it's not quite illegal yet. The Fed then returns to Randy Weaver and asks him to saw more off. Randy finally agrees, saws it off. Next thing you know, the FBI's hostage rescue team is shooting Randy Weaver's wife and dog with a sniper rifle. And his baby, too. Don't be naive about what these people are capable of. Don't be naive about any of this stuff. Be smart. Be smart. Legal. Nonviolent. Calm down. Christopher Ray is very concerned about you.
Well, as I'm sure you can appreciate, that's not something that I can talk about, so I'd refer you to the department. As to the issue of threats, I will say that I'm always concerned about violence and threats of violence against law enforcement and any threats made against law enforcement, including the men and women of the FBI, as with any law enforcement agency, are deplorable and dangerous.
Yeah, they're very in the wake of the FBI raiding the home of Donald Trump, sending 30 federal agents in there to rifle through his things. What are they worried about? They're worried about you. You see, you and your potential response, that may be the problem, which brings me to this. And then we're going to get to New York City polio. Gosh. I'm holding in my hands something from the Attorney General of Missouri, Eric Schmidt. He's running for Senate, by the way. Good dude. Now, what is this? Why would I be reading you something from Missouri's Attorney General? You don't care about this. What does this have to do with you? Listen. I'm going to read you the opening paragraph. And then I'll let it go. Dear Director Ray, he obviously is writing this to Christopher Ray. It has come to my attention that the Federal Bureau of Investigation has informed several Missouri County sheriffs They will be showing up in August to audit CCW permit holder records. The FBI states, quote, the audit includes an on-site review of your concealed carry weapons permits. Let me be perfectly clear. Allowing federal agents from the FBI to have access to records of Missourians who have permit to carry a concealed weapon violates Missouri law and infringes on our Second Amendment rights. I'm not going to read the rest of it. It's 2 pages long. He goes on to essentially tell the FBI to go pound sand. Why do I tell you to move? You know, I've told you it 1,000 times. Why do I tell you to move? Well, let me ask you a question. And I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell me. You don't know me anything. Not your dad. I want you to be honest with yourself. If the Federal Bureau of Investigation, if they wanted to walk into your state and they wanted all the information your local sheriff, your local police department had on you, the weapons you own, everything, would your state, would your city, would they hand over those records? Or would they fight the FBI on your behalf? If you can't confidently say your state would stand in between you and unlawful federal goons, you need to find a new job, pack up your family, and get to a place where you can. And I am not saying that as if it's some easy, light thing to do. I've moved across the country several times. I know it's expensive. I know it's painful. I know it's difficult. I know it's scary. You're going into a new place. I know whatever you're saying to the radio right now as you dog cuss me. I know you're right. I'm not saying it for any other reason than you need to understand these federal agencies, and it's way beyond the FBI, they're not almost ready to reform themselves. They're not at some rock bottom where they're looking around at themselves saying, oh, guys, oh, dang. Here at the FBI, we're hurting our reputation, guys. We've gotten too Democrat. We have to change our ways. They're going to keep coming, and they're going to keep coming, and they're going to keep coming. How confident are you the next low-T GOP Congress is going to absolutely eliminate the Federal Bureau of Investigation? How confident are you? Where's your confidence level on a scale of 1 to 10? I don't know. Is negative 10 an option? Because that's where I'm at. Don't get me wrong. I know we'll have about 10 of them who will step up and want to do it. And then we'll get a whole bunch of Lindsey Grahams and Tim Scotts. Well, the good women at the FBI all barf. You should have zero confidence that the low-T GOP is going to actually put a stop to the FBI at a federal level. So allow me to ask you one more time, and then we'll move on and talk about polio. If the Federal Bureau of Investigation came to your local sheriff and they told him they wanted access to all of the information your sheriff has on you, would your sheriff say, oh, yes, sir, Mr. FBI, I work for you? Or would your sheriff tell him, go pound sand, and if you even try to touch his records, I'll have you arrested immediately? I don't tell you to move because it's easy. I don't tell you to move because moving's fun. I don't tell you to move because I think it's a small thing, your job, your family, your schools, your ties, your church, your synagogue, your whatever. I know it's hard. I know it is. I'm telling you, going forward, the federal government is only going to get more unhinged and more out of control. There is zero indication that reform in any way is coming. That doesn't mean we have to lay down and suck our thumb and lick our wounds and, oh no, everything's over. But it does mean we have to make basic preparations, right? I mean, why do you have an emergency food supply? Why do you have water? Why do you practice with your Mantis X system? Why do you have Oxford Gold in your home? Why are you making basic preparations now? Not because of where we are, but because of where we might be going. Part of preparing for where we might be going is getting to some place where some level of the state can step in and help protect you. If you're listening to the sound of my voice right now from the heart of New York City, who's going to protect you if the FBI comes for you? Anyone? Can you name me one entity that will step up and step in for you? No, you can't. Move and be safe. All right. Apparently, there's a lot of polio going around. Is it 1910 again? We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about you and me and what to do if the lights go out. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Also, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it now. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. You can email those all week, by the way. Chris takes all the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, sets them aside for Friday. So we are cocked, locked, and ready to rock, baby. Friday. What, Chris? I'm excited. Why do you always have such a poor attitude, Chris?
Buenas tardes.
Does that make you feel better? Always makes me feel better. All right, before we talk about polio, let's talk really briefly about you taking 10 minutes and saving yourself some money. You see, when you switch from your dog meat cell phone carrier to Pure Talk, a couple things happen. One, you stop funding people who hate your freaking guts. Two, your family saves a fortune. You know, the average family saves over $900 a year. I switched, obviously, myself and the wife and kids. We all have Pure Talk now. Our bill was cut in half. We switched from T-Mobile, half. We pay half now what we did. You deal with American customer service, with people who speak English. Their CEO is a veteran. What's the downside? Ah, Jesse, I don't want a new phone or a number. Okay, I didn't get a new phone or number. Keep your phone, keep your number. Or you can have a new phone or number, whatever you want. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, all right? Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. That'll actually get you an additional month free on top of everything else. Switch to Pure Talk, okay? Now, I have to admit, this headline did not get a lot of play, but wow. CDC official, several hundred polio cases are likely circulating in New York City. In late July, a 20-year-old man from New York's Rockland County was found to have developed symptoms of polio, including paralysis. Oh, I love this little tidbit. The man was unvaccinated, and no other cases have been identified thus far. Okay, then why the panic? Quote, there are a number of individuals in the community that have been infected with polio virus. They are shedding the virus, Romero said. The spread is always a possibility because the spread is going to be silent. Hold on, so wait a minute. So they don't have any idea how many cases of polio are in New York? And in fact, they have one confirmed case, and yet the headline says, CDC official, several hundred polio cases circulating in New York. Boy, if I could just, you know what, I could frame this. If I could frame the way the media has controlled and manipulated and abused this country, this would be Exhibit A. I mean, how many New Yorkers listening to the sound of my voice right now maybe saw this headline and got worried, went down, made sure their vaccines were up to date? I mean, polio is no joke, right? The eradication of polio turned out to be a really, really big deal. A really big deal. But there's several hundred cases. Oh, my gosh. There was one case from a guy who didn't even have the polio vaccine. Yet if you read the headlines, the media is pouring into your eyes and ears. There are hundreds of them. You might die at any moment. A total disaster. Gosh, these stinking people. And alive. All right. What would you do if the lights went out? And Hold on. Maybe you think I'm just trying to scare you. And maybe I am. Headline. Downtown Toronto hit by a large power outage. Now, I'm not going to speculate on all the various things that could have caused such a thing, and nor am I going to ever believe what official thing comes out, but it did occur to me as soon as I saw the headline, how spoiled we are. We are so used to walking up to the light switch and boop, and the power comes on. I pick up the remote control and I point it at the television and I press the power button and the TV comes on. What time is it? I'm sitting on the couch in my house. Oh, I don't know. Let me turn around. There's a clock right there on the oven. Digital clock telling me the power. The air conditioning is running. The heat's running. We are so used to flipping that switch and watching the power come on. Do you have any idea what's going on in the world right now? On top of the endless cyber attacks on critical infrastructure in the country, in the world, here's a headline for you. The U.S. industrial complex is starting to buckle from the high power costs. You see, the Enviro-Communists, they took office and they immediately launched an assault. And I've been warning you over and over and over and over and over again. The world runs on oil and gas. It doesn't matter whether you love that, whether you hate that. Maybe you even believe in man-made climate change because you're stupid. But none of that actually matters. What does matter is the world runs on it. You cannot attack oil and gas without attacking mankind himself because mankind runs on oil and gas. But these people are committed all the way to destroying oil and gas, which means they're committed to destroying you. And that is so difficult to accept. It's so hard to accept that the people who run your country, that they're these horrible, nefarious villains who are trying to kill a billion people. That's just simply a bridge too far mentally for so many people. No, Jesse, they're dumb or they're maybe a little lefty or no, they're misguided. No, they're trying to murder you. I've played how many audio clips of them basically admitting it? You remember the Bill Gates clip I've played for you over and over and over again, where Bill Gates stands up there and he simply says, human beings are producing carbon. Their energy is producing carbon. And we have to way to get that. We have to find a way to get that number to what? What did he say? You remember? Did he say reduce it a little? Did he say cut it in half? He said, get that number to zero. Now, how in the world would you ever get carbon to zero when you're sitting there listening to the sound of my voice and you're breathing out carbon? How are you going to get this number to zero, Bill?
It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has 4 factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. Now, that's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3.
Billions dead. And it's not in some distant future. It's now. Our energy secretary, Granholm, is actually trying to make it happen. The audio quality is terrible, so I'm not going to bother playing it for you. But she basically says, stop worrying about the cost of gas and go buy an electric vehicle. They're not backing off. Speaking of not backing off, somebody has a question about violence. Is violence necessary, he wants to know. And the culture war. Hang on. Grew up so fast, then it might be the
best one day. I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.